In the 1890s, the price of cotton rose dramatically as demand increased around the world. The fertile regions of the South were under pressure to produce more. The large plantation owners in the Mississippi Delta desperately needed to increase their crops, but they faced a severe labor shortage. Many of the blacks who were physically able had fled the land their ancestors toiled as slaves for better jobs and certainly better lives up north. Those left behind were understandably less than enthusiastic about chopping and picking cotton for brutally low wages. The landowners hit upon a scheme to import industrious and hard-working European immigrants to raise cotton. Through contacts with Italian labor agents in New York and New Orleans, connections were made, promises swapped, lies told, contracts forged, and in 1895, the first boatload of families arrived in the Delta. They were from northern Italy, from the region of Emilia-Romagna near Verona. For the most part, they were poorly educated and spoke little English, though in any language, they quickly realized they were on the bad end of a huge scam. They were given miserable living accommodations in a subtropical climate, and while battling malaria and mosquitoes and snakes and rotten drinking water, they were told to raise cotton for wages no one could live on. They were forced to borrow money at scandalous rates from the landowners. Their food and supplies came from the company store at steep prices. Because the Italians worked hard, the landowners wanted more of them. They dressed up their operations, made more promises to more Italian labor agents, and the immigrants kept coming. A system of peonage was fine-tuned, and the Italians were treated worse than most black farm workers. Over time, some efforts were made to divide profits and transfer ownership of land, but the cotton markets fluctuated so wildly that the arrangements could never be stabilized. After 20 years of abuse, the Italians finally scattered, and the experiment became history. Those who remained in the Delta were considered second-class citizens for decades. They were excluded from schools, and because they were Catholic, they were not welcome in churches. The country clubs were off-limits. They were dagoes and shoved to the bottom of the social ladder. But because they worked hard and saved their money, they slowly accumulated land. The Rossetti family landed near Leland, Mississippi in 1902. They were from a village near Bologna and had the misfortune of listening to the wrong labor agent in that city. Mr. and Mrs. Rossetti brought with them four daughters, the oldest of which was Nicola, aged 12. Though they often went hungry the first year, they managed to avoid outright starvation. Penniless when they arrived, after 3 years of peonage, the family had racked up $6,000 in debts to the plantation with no possible way of paying them off. They fled the Delta in the middle of the night and rode a boxcar to Memphis, where a distant relative took them in. At the age of 15, Nicola was stunningly beautiful. Long, dark hair, brown eyes, a classic Italian beauty. She looked older than her years and managed to get a job in a clothing store by telling the owner she was 18. After 3 days, the owner offered her a marriage proposal. He was willing to divorce his wife of 20 years and say goodbye to his children if Nicola would run away with him. She said no. He offered Mr. Rossetti $5,000 as an incentive. Mr. Rossetti said no. In those days, the wealthy farming families in northern Mississippi did their shopping and socializing in Memphis, usually within walking distance of the Peabody Hotel. It was there that Mr. Zachary DeJarnett of Clanton had the blind luck of bumping into Nicola Rossetti. 2 weeks later, they were married. He was 31, a widower with no children, and in the midst of a serious search for a wife. He was also the largest landowner in Ford County, where the soil was not as rich as in the Delta, but still quite profitable if you owned enough of it. Mr. Desjarnets had inherited over 4,000 acres from his family. His grandfather had once owned the grandfather of Kalia Harris Ruffin. The marriage was a package deal. Nicola was wise beyond her years, and she was also desperate to protect her family. They had suffered so much. She saw an opportunity and took full advantage of it. Before she agreed to marriage, Mr. Desjarnets promised to not only employ her father as a farm supervisor, but to provide his family with very comfortable housing. He agreed to educate her three younger sisters. He agreed to pay off the peonage debts from the Delta. So smitten was Mr. Desjarnets that he would have agreed to anything.